In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. St. Paul tells us to stand in the faith, to be courageous in the faith, and to be vigilant. That is a lesson that we learned as a nation on this day, one decade ago today, on 9/11, when so many died as the towers fell, those great towers in New York City. Some have asked, where was God on 9/11? Bishop Michael, Bishop of New York and New Jersey, has responded to that question in this way. He said, God was where He always stands, on the broken down gates of hell, having destroyed death by His own death. That's where God stood. We are not overcome by death. As Orthodox Christians, as all Christians ought, we do not fear death. As we stand firm in the faith, at one with the one who trampled down the gates of hell and destroyed the power of death, destroying death itself to the degree that it has power over us, we need not fear death, as the martyrs did not fear death. And yet we remain vigilant so that we are not overcome by a sudden fear of death. We need to be vigilant against being terrorized by the forces of death. That's what terrorism is. And the only antidote to terrorism is courage. Not to go over to the dark side and believe that we can win by terrorizing the terrorizers. Then we have submitted to the power of death over us, which has already been destroyed. We are no longer Christians if we are overcome by fear of death. We have to watch and be vigilant, not in fear, but in courage, lest we live in some way other than the way of Christ. That's what we have to be vigilant about. We need to fight a war on terror within ourselves, where that war can be won. Paul says, death will come like a thief in the night. And he reminds us, when he says that, of the words of Christ himself, when he speaks about the end time. It will come at a time when no one can say. And he too, like St. Paul, after him, advises us to watch, keep vigilance, because you never know when the hour comes, as it came for so many when those towers were destroyed. How do we go on living? How have we gone on living? How have we been changed? The question is often being asked right now by that event. For Christians, there should be no change, because we cannot be terrorized by those who use the fear of death to control us. And we are watchful and vigilant against falling into that fear. Bishop Michael says that we need to live every day, every hour, and every moment, so that we are prepared for that moment that will come to every one of us when we close our eyes on this world for the last time, so that when we open our eyes again, we find ourselves in the arms of the loving God who has saved us from the power of death, so that we could live life in courage without fear of death. For me, it is a perfect image of heaven. It's the only one that St. Paul ever really gave as an answer to those who wanted to know, what is it going to be like when we die? He didn't tell them about his experience about rising to the third heaven. He told them this: you will be in the bosom of Christ. And it's easy for me to believe that that is the experience of heaven. I don't need descriptions of what streets and avenues are like in heaven. And the reason for that is very simple. The closest thing to heaven I have ever experienced is to hold my wife in my arms late at night. There isn't anything better than that. That's it. That's the peak experience. And that's what St. Paul says it will be like for those of us who keep the faith, are vigilant, live in courage, and are not overcome by fear, which is why we sin, you know. We only ever do things that are unworthy of Christ. We only ever miss the mark out of the fear of death that is so strong in us that causes us to want to somehow establish ourselves and make ourselves feel as though we are masters of our own lives. That's why we sin. Every effort that we make to prove ourselves masters of our own lives, to set ourselves up above others, all of those things that we do, they all have their root in our fear of death. Because when we do those things, when we sin, we forget that we're afraid. It's a shot of false courage, like a shot of whiskey, or maybe more than a shot. Some of us are drunk on this false courage. Our whole life is an exercise in false courage. Death cannot overcome me. We don't say that, but we experience it emotionally, psychologically, spiritually. We are filled with a false courage because in the end, death will overcome us. Only God can stand against death as He has stood against death, and that enemy has been overcome. And we need not live in this ridiculous false kind of way, but it does take courage. Jesus told us that, and St. Paul tells us that. Courage that is rooted in our faith in Christ God, that He has destroyed the power of death and arisen from the worst effort that death could make to overcome Him. And it's the same in our own lives. This morning we heard the parable that Jesus tells about the vineyard. The landowner digs a wine press, grows hedges around the vineyard, plants the vines, and builds a tower. And he invites vine dressers to take care of the vineyard for him. And he goes away and leaves them about the work of living their lives. And this is an easy description of life for the worldly minded members of Jesus' audience to understand. You can tell by the end that they are really into it because they are the ones who describe exactly what the bad vine dressers deserve. Because after the landowner leaves, the vine dressers live as though this life were their own. They use their work to help them forget that in the end they will be held to an account. They just pretend that their life is their own. That's how we live, you know. That's how we live. We pretend that our life is our own. We pretend that there is no death. It's easier when you're younger. It becomes more and more difficult when you're older. And how we respond to that, once we are mature, once we are adults, once we are even senior citizens, it makes all the difference in how our life is going to turn out. Will we fight in order to hide from ourselves the reality of things? Or will we accept the fact that the only way that death can be overcome is by our sharing in the way the Son of God overcame death, giving Himself over to the cross, destroying the power of death and arising? We know how we can participate in His life and share his life, by not trying to exercise dominion over this world that belongs to God, so that we can fool ourselves into believing that we own our own lives and our possessions and our power. Just because they make us feel invulnerable, actually can't make us invulnerable. In the end, it will all come crashing down if we put ourselves in the place of God. And that's what the vine dressers did. When someone came to try to take it away from them, the representatives of the landowner, they killed them. That made them feel even more invulnerable to death, because they destroyed others. When we destroy others, it makes us feel better. It makes us feel powerful. It makes us feel better than they are. They can't stand up to me. I can cut them down. Maybe not with a sword or a gun, but with a remark, a cutting remark, to put others in their place. Spiritual murder. It makes us forget our fear of death. And then finally, the son of the landowner is sent. Surely they will respect my son. No, he is the heir. They want to take his place. Just the way we want to take the place of Christ himself in our own life. We might even redefine Jesus so that we can take his place. You know, many have listened to this parable and they have drawn what they thought was wisdom out of it, a worldly wisdom. Imagine someone listening to this parable and saying, look here at this parable. God is teaching us how to live in our life. He gave these vine dressers the vineyard, but they didn't come up with the prophets. God planted this vineyard in order to have a prophet. God wants a prophet. Life is about profit. Listen to the response of those people who were Jesus' audience when he asks them, what will the landowner do with those vine dressers who killed his servants and then killed his son? They are the ones who come up with the punishment. He will get rid of those people and he will get other people in who will give the profits in their seasons. They are the ones who said that without ever leaving their own worldly point of view, because that's what you would do at a worldly level if somebody misused your property in that kind of way. But is that the kind of profit that God wants? Is it just a matter of who gets the profit? The vine dressers or the landowner? Is Jesus really talking about profits from a vineyard? Is he really saying that what the vine dressers did that was wrong was keep the profits, whereas he ought to have given the money to the landowner? What is this parable really about? God plants a vineyard, and he hopes for the fruit of the labor that is our life. We can't keep it for ourselves. We are working in the vineyard of our own lives in order to be transformed by our labor. We are called upon to climb to the top of the tower and look out for any vices that might invade the holy space of the life that Christ has made it possible for us to live to the glory of God. We live our lives for our own transformation and salvation and divinization. And that's the profit that God wants from the vineyard that he's planted. And if we can't provide that, then it's a loss to God. Our life is the place where we work out our salvation. All of the work that we do, as St. Seraphim of Sarov says, when we engage in exchanges with other human beings, is meant to come out as a profit, a spiritual profit from everything that we do. Gathering the Holy Spirit, that's the coin of the realm for God. Gathering the Holy Spirit. It takes courage to do that. We have to look out for the terrorizers, those who make us so fearful that we simply have a knee-jerk response to lash out at others and make ourselves feel stronger, more alive, that false courage. We have to watch out for that. All of the monks tell us that our spiritual lives are largely a matter of awareness and watchfulness, because the enemy will come and try to take away the life that we have and return us to a condition where we live in constant fear of death. That's the thing that we have to watch out for. That's the disaster that can take place. That's the thing that will take away the profit that God hopes to have from our lives as we work in the vineyard of the time that we have here on earth. And so the lesson for Orthodox Christians of 9/11 is exactly what St. Paul and Jesus himself has called upon us to do and to be. Be watchful. Be vigilant. Be courageous. The fear of death can only be overcome by courage, a courage rooted in our faith in Christ. And if our faith is not that he died and arose again, and that death has no power over him or over us, then we have no Christian faith to speak of. That is how we are called to live our lives, to live lives of courage and be vigilant against the fear of death. In the name of the Father, of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen.